Dubai Eye
103.8. We start with an absolute belter, because when you've got a tagline that says the oldest cricket club in Dubai, people sit up and listen. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio not one but two captains. Captain Omar Captain, we have club captain of Darjeeling Cricket Club, Mr. Nick Harvey, that's club captain at present and former club captain of the Darjeeling Cricket Club, Mr. Chris Domett, both with us here in studio. Fellas, afternoon.
Afternoon to you, Tom. Thank you for having us in your new beautiful studio.
You like that, don't you? Yeah. Dominic was just regaling me stories of the fact that last time he was on Dubai Eye was with an old colleague and friend, well, colleague, let's just leave it at that, shall we? Andy McNabb, talking cricket in the old shoebox. Things have moved on a bit, haven't they, Dominic?
Absolutely. You got a view here. It was an old shed, and I think it was, this is far better, very, very good. But that was actually the first time I was on rather than the last time, but a few years ago.
Good to have you back with us here today. We're going to talk all things Darjeeling. Now, let me start with, you know me, I like to talk about myself, so let's get on with that straight away. When I first arrived here in the UAE, almost 20 years ago to this day, I didn't come with much. One thing I did come with is a cricket bag. Not so much a coffin, because I wasn't so much of a coffin guy, but a cricket bag, which had my cricket kit in. Why? Because somebody over in the UK, a colleague of mine over there, had put me in touch with a guy called Paul Venn over here in the UAE. And they said, you know, when you arrive, you feel a bit down. And one of my biggest regrets, one of the things that was holding me back from coming here was leaving my cricket behind back in the UK. So I came over, gave it a couple of weeks, got homesick, called Paul Venn. Within 48 hours, I had pitched up down by the old Dubai Country Club at Darjeeling Cricket Club. And the rest, as they say, is history. Well, not so much history. I played for a few years. And then, of course, bright lights, big city, got carried away. And I haven't really been seen around there much since then. However, the good news is that Darjeeling Cricket Club continues to this day. Nick Harvey, talk to me about the history of Darjeeling Cricket Club. What celebrations have you got in store this year?
Thank you, Tom. As you know, the club was founded in 1969, which was quite an auspicious year, I believe. You know, moon landing, the Woodstock, and also the QE2 was launched in 69, as was Darjeeling Cricket Club. So the club was actually founded by two former members, Robert Blackburn and Rupert McGuigan, who arrived with £115 worth of cricket gear on consignment basis from Bahrain, which was the only place there was a sports shop in the entire Middle East in 1969. Yeah, nowhere else, nothing in the UAE. And according to Alan Cook, MBE, who was also a former member, as soon as we could pay it off, then we chose to call the club Darjeeling in honour of the sports club, Darjeeling Sports Club, that showed us that good faith.
Oh, wow. Okay. I love the fact, Harv, that you've become not only the club captain, but also become the club historian as well. Is that is that a responsibility, Dominic, that all captains have to carry?
I think so. You have the responsibility for holding the torch for another few years. But one of the biggest challenges we had was when we left our old clubhouse and we had to go through the tin trunks with all the memorabilia and all the records. And then put them into storage and make some sense out of them. But I think various people over the last few years have put them together. And I believe we have a book coming out for the 50th anniversary, which has compiled some of these histories, personal reminiscences, but also some great photos of some of the major games over the years. But yeah, I think it's by world standards, 50 years isn't particularly long for a cricket club, but in the Dubai context, it's very, very long. So
practically medieval.
It is, yeah. So as captains, we
have some of the practices.
That's right.
Listen, let's talk about the. I mean, I regale that little story of me arriving with a cricket bag, but I'm not alone. I mean, there's lots of people who travel here, and they're looking for. They're looking for a community, and that's what Darjeeling has offered, correct?
Yeah, I think look, over the years, you're not alone. You know, I'm exactly the same. I turned up in 2006. I turned up at the club that I found through a friend of a friend, and there was Richard Cox propped up against the side of the building with his dish dash on, as he did. You know, and then Friday I was playing for the morning side with Greg Moses. You know, and again, it just opened up a whole club of people in a town, you know, I think, you know, a long time ago, there weren't that many social institutions like there are now. Mm. There certainly wasn't social media. And so that opened out a whole group of people. And it has done for many others.
What about the challenges, Chris? You mentioned there about the challenges of the move. I suppose that's the biggest challenge. And it's great to have seen the club come out of the ashes there, because a lot of people thought that might have been the end of the club. Because for those that don't understand where the club used to be, maybe you can put us in the picture there.
It was we were based over near the Exiles Rugby Club and the old Dubai Country Club, basically on a patch of sand on the Alawir Road, which when it was donated to the club was way from the centre of the city. But as Dubai expanded and they decided to build the new Maidan facility, our land was requisitioned, and we were then left pretty much homeless for about two or three years.
Yeah.
And it was unfortunately just at the time where most of the cricket pitches in Dubai disappeared. Mm. The old Dubai Cricket Council grounds disappeared as well. So we were left playing the occasional game at Zabil Park, which was challenging and interesting, but... we then entered a tournament called Last Man Stands, which kept us going for a season or two. And then eventually we were lucky enough to be able to build a ground at Sharjah English School, which was very, very fortunate because it gave us a base again. And not a clubhouse, but at least we could play cricket every weekend. Mm. But we kept the club going through that period through cricket tours to Chiang Mai, social events, the usual sort of social sessions, that sort of thing. But even through that time, we kept probably 20, 25, 30 guys who were still that keen on cricket that the club was still active. So yeah, it's come a long way since then as well, obviously.
Yeah, and where are we at now, Nick? Because you know, during the dark days, we were down to the fact that there were 25, 30 guys who still wanted to come together as well. Is that still sort of indicative of membership, or
it's
have you
interesting
gone?
You say 20. You know, I remember the days when there was three of us at a net in our cos. You know, after we lost the ground. You know, and it was those were the dark days, but. Look, now, once we obviously got a bit of a base, in particular thanks to Stuart Mathewson Badger, who did a lot on the membership and the social media, we built the club up. I think we had up to around 90 members 3 years ago. We're now down to around 70, 75. But the infrastructure of the club's very strong. You know, the websites are there, the committees there, the permanent trustees are very much in place. So, you know, I'm confident for the next 50 years now.
Have you got a home?
We play at the ICC, which is a world away from rolling around on the sands of Alawir. I always remember you used to watch people playing their first games at Alawir.
Don't
trying
dive.
To impress the captain, would dive for the first one, lose half of their rib cage. So anyway, these are beautiful world-class facilities. You know, international sides, county sides play there when they're touring. So we're playing there, and obviously this weekend, which we'll come on to, we're going to be hosting a tournament there.
Yeah,
but world-class facilities.
Looking forward to finding out more about the Darjeeling Sixes, very much an institution on the sporting and social calendars here as well. Chris, you're still playing the game.
Yes, I am. I've now worked out I've played in 18 different countries.
Brilliant.
And I'm now sort of playing my trade in the south of France. And a lot of people said when I went there that there is no cricket. But before finding out anything about what you have to do to live there, I found a cricket club to play for. And so I'm playing regular cricket. It's good.
It's a great game for that, isn't it? I know that it can be played at the most elite level, as we've seen throughout the course of this summer. But the way that the club system of cricket worldwide is, they often say, don't they, about polo being a passport for polo fields around the world, but we're not all able to work out how to get on a horse and hit a ball at the end of a long mallet. It'll cricket, though, is exactly the same, isn't it? I mean, it's a passport.
It is, exactly. And if you look at the team I play for in France, we've got about three Brits, a South African, an American, a Dutch guy, three Pakistani lads, an Afghan refugee, and an Indian guy whose dad runs the local Indian restaurant. And it's the teams we play against are a similar mix. We have a few French playing, but everywhere I've been, it's literally, as you said before, you find a cricket club and you find people who speak the same language and have the same attitude to life. And yeah, it's good. It's fun.
Darjeeling Cricket Club has been that for thousands of members during the last 50 years, continues to do that today. And that's why they've got a massive celebration to look forward to this coming weekend. Nick Harvey, it all kicks off tomorrow night. And you mentioned the QE2 a little earlier.
Yes. We thought that would be a very poignant venue, actually. So we will be descending on the QE2 at around 7 p.m. tomorrow. Invitation only, I'm afraid. But we will have a gala dinner for around 150 of our past, present members and selected partners for the evening.
And a very special guest, apparently. Your guest speaker is?
Yeah, our guest speaker is Jeff Miller.
Brilliant.
Interestingly, I was just looking through some of the historical notes, thanks to Gary Turner, actually. You mentioned I was the historian. It's not. But
he'd get upset about that, would he?
He's from north of Watford, so I'm sure he will. But we have found some old pictures of a 1982 Barbican tour that played against us, and Jeff Miller is there's the captain of the Barbicans.
Ah, look at that. So he's going to be back as your after-dinner speaker.
He will. He comes with a very strong reputation, so we're delighted to have him.
You mentioned that. You mentioned the fact that that's going to be invite-only, so a little precursor, and obviously it'll be a bowl of pasta and early to bed. But then the real competition starts in earnest. Darjeeling Sixes. I mean, Chris, the Darjeeling Sixes have been part of Darjeeling folklore since its inception, pretty much, haven't they?
They have. I'm not sure how many years we've been going, but it's been pretty much since the club started. And when we used to play at our old club, it would go on into the night. And I remember playing one year there where we had torrential rain overnight from the Thursday to the Friday. So the pitch was underwater, and we changed the rules so that you could only hit four and sixes because the ball wouldn't go anywhere. But we still managed to finish the tournament.
And, I remember that. Yeah.
We'd have teams sleeping out on the veranda because they couldn't find a way back to their hotel overnight, and it was just easier to come back to the ground. But yeah, it's a great event and very sociable, a mix of standards between very good and very serious, down to probably the Q8 casuals for whom I played a couple of years ago. And their determination is to not come anywhere, not win a game and to come last, but to win the social prize at the end of the weekend.
Cricket is the winner, is it?
It is indeed. And for them, it's a great break because obviously there's a more relaxed environment in Dubai than they find in Q8.
In terms of the sort of the tournament this year, I mean, you've got international teams coming over.
We do. We've got teams from Bangladesh coming, India, the UK, Bahrain, Oman, and Kuwait.
So international those, sixes by name and by nature as
very
well.
Much so.
It kicks off on Friday morning?
Yeah, Friday morning, yes. So, yes, so straight after the gala dinner, like you said, early night after that. But no, really looking forward to it. And like you said, and Chris has said, there is a complete variety of abilities, ages, and I think that's the beauty of cricket. Mm. There aren't many team sports where a 14-year-old and a 54-year-old can play on an even keel, you know. And here we've facilitated it so the abilities can go and play in the cup, you know, for the people who want to take it seriously. And the Q8 casuals and co can hack it out, you know, at for different trophies.
A lot of people texting in saying, how can we get involved? Where can we buy tickets? Where do we come, etc.? It starts on Friday morning, Harv, and around about, 10 o'clock, is it?
Yeah, 10 a.m.
Okay.
10 a.m.
Whereabouts is it?
So it's at the ICC Global Academy, which is in Sports City.
Yep.
There's two grass pitches, and we're going to be taking both of them on the Friday and mainly one on the Saturday.
Okay.
You know, that will sort of be finals day.
Yeah.
But both pitches going.
So both pitches down there. Tickets?
No. No. I don't think we could ask people to pay to come and watch us lark around. But certainly, you know, there's lots to do down there. We've got stuff for the kids to do. There's a bouncy castle, and there's a lot of grass to run around
Dom
in.
Dom will be doing some face painting and things like that.
I think so, yes, the usual stuff. Yeah, and on the bouncy castle.
Balloon tricks and everything, yeah.
Yeah, entertaining the youngsters.
Yeah. Running an academy of sorts.
So family friendly, get the family
down
there?
Absolutely, and we'd welcome as many as possible. We've got, there's a big grass bank, there's gazebos for the teams. I think there's 18 teams coming at last count. And there's food trucks, and there's Dom doing his face paint.
There's food, there's drinks, there's plenty of entertainment. There's all sorts going on down there. So you have got lots to look forward to. So you're saying you're doing Friday's your main day, correct?
No, it's definitely a 2-day event.
Okay.
But Friday we've got both pitches, and in fact we're going to have the Oval One running for half of the Saturday as well, because we've got a lot of cricket to get through. You know, we've got 4 trophies up for grabs. The Cup for the serious good guys. Then there's the plate and the shield for the sort of intermediate. Bowl.
Keep going.
And the grand prize that Kuwait Casuals will be getting is the wooden spoon.
So
everyone likes the spoon final.
There might be pushed this year. There, in terms of cricket here, Chris Domett, I mean, you sort of oversaw the club for many a year here, and I remember during your tenure, you know, we started seeing a few people breaking away, setting up their own clubs. We saw more and more competition coming around, which was good in one way because it provided that competition. I don't think the team sort of kept in line with facilities here, which was much called out for. We're seeing more and more facilities now, more and more teams. Is cricket, do you think, club cricket in a good place here?
I think so. It's always a struggle in a place like Dubai where you have a very transient sort of community. And so a lot of people come and go. So teams like the Loose Cannons were very strong. I'm not sure what they're like now, but they had a lot of members, and it was good to have an alternative to Darjeeling. But a lot of the clubs here really struggle for facilities because they can't get a pitch. So therefore, they play as and when they can. A lot of teams actually have to play on car parks or wasteland. Which is great to see, and it's lovely to see sort of tape ball cricket being played. Whereas in somewhere like UK, each village will have its own pitch. Here you either have the fantastic facilities we have at the ICC, but there's very little beyond that. So it's a struggle. But what I love about cricket is people will find a patch of ground to play from when they're kids. They'll play in the street. And they love the game, so they will find a way to play cricket. And they might not have a clubhouse like us. You know, we used to have a clubhouse, but we still carry on. And you find alternatives. You just find a way to play.
I mean, is it good for you guys? Because I suppose that's been one of the struggles, Nick, in the past for you, was finding competition. Has that been solved now, or is it still an issue?
There's plenty of competition, and there are more pitches now. You know, there's a lot, and I think the divider is whether you can pay for them or not. I think it's more about the type of cricket that we want to play.
Yeah.
And I think this comes to how Darjeeling is quite unique, because for the friendly side, you know, we're not coming here to win by, you know, 40 runs or 5 wickets. We're coming here to play the game in the spirit that the game should be played and to sort of engage socially afterwards. And that's as important as the actual playing. And so many of the teams that we have played, they finish the game, the kit goes in the back of the the car, and they go.
Yeah.
And you talk about clubs at the moment, and that's, to me, that's not a club. That's just you filling in and playing, you know, in a side. And a club is all about you putting in and having the social element.
Being there for each other.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes Darjeeling quite unique.
Because you've had ups and downs, haven't you? I mean, there have been members that have come, there have been members that are gone. We've had
fisticuffs.
We've had fisticuffs. We've had tragic deaths as well. And that's when that's when the club comes together.
Yeah, we did. And I think, you know, you're obviously referring to an event that happened sadly 4 years ago with Simon Fowler, who was sadly taken from us too early.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sat next to my fellow compadre who played cricket for 24 hours, you know, to raise a few quid for Simon's favourite charity. So, yeah.
And one thing that always struck me as well about it was it was a sort of, you mentioned there the fact that Jeff Miller is coming out. He was one of the sort of touring teams who came over. A lot of touring teams have come to Darjeeling, as have a lot of the ships as well, a lot of the forces teams, haven't they, Domit?
Yes, we used to play regularly against British naval ships, and they used to love it because it gave them an opportunity to get off the boat, ship, and have a few drinks and socialise in sort of a normal environment. And they were good fun. But one of the highlights for me, and those were very, very sociable games, but one of my earliest games at the club was against New Zealand. And so there's a bit of a contrast in standards.
Did he go to a super over?
It didn't, unfortunately, no. But there was
sudden death.
Yeah, there were... I think we got roundly beaten. But in those days, the international teams used to play in Sharjah, and on their day off, they used to come over to Darjeeling for a barbecue and a game of cricket.
Brilliant.
So, we got photos of some of the greats of New Zealand, and I think Australia have played there. And one of the last games at our events at our old club was a coaching weekend where we had Mike Gatting, Kim Hughes. I think Joel Garner was there, Javagal Srinath, Waka Yunus was there, all playing on a concrete strip in the middle of the desert. So it's some good memories.
Text messages coming in. Let's get to those. This one's come from Coops. Nice to hear from you, Coops, out there. Former international Arabian Gulf rugby player texting in with his thoughts. Says, Tom, how can one get involved with Darjeeling cricket these days? It sounds like the way rugby used to be in the region back in the good old days.
Yeah, we're on social media. We've got a website, which is darjeelingcricket.com. We've also got a Facebook page. There are people there who will get back to you. But probably the best way is to come up on a Tuesday evening at the ICC Nets. November's been a bit tricky because there's been the internationals on. But Tuesday evenings, 8 p.m, meet some of the guys. We're having a net, and then come and see us afterwards for a social. Mm. You know, and that way you'll soon find out if if Darjeeling is the right club for you.
Or Coops, come down on Friday. Get yourself down to Sport City on Friday from 10 o'clock in the morning. The guys are going to be there the whole day Friday into Saturday as well. So Friday and Saturday for the Darjeeling Cricket Sixes 2019, their 50th festival. And I suppose that's probably a good starting point for so many people out there who want to bring wives, kids, families.
Fantastic point. Yeah, fantastic time too. Yeah, I think you see us at our best then.
And maybe on the Friday. Maybe on the Friday.
Yeah,
all right?
After the gala dinner.
Not early morning.
What about things like this don't get off the ground without the thanks and the support of others. So who have you got to thank?
No, there's been a huge amount of work. Look, I just a small thanks, obviously, to our four founders, really, you know, without which the club wouldn't have been there. You know, the Herb Whitlocks, the Alan Cooks of this world, more recently John Dutton, who did a lot of the construction and the foundations for the old club. Further people, the Richard Coxes, George Appletons, who've helped maintain the structure of the club. And more recently, people like Chris Domit to my left, his wife Teresa, Stuart Mathewson, a.k.a. Badger.
Do you have to thank him?
Oh, absolutely. We have to thank him, actually. Okay, he won't let us forget if we don't. But more recently, there's four individuals in particular who have done the lion's share of the work for this. And this is Jonathan Houghton, Jamie Watkins, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, Nathan Cartwright, and Mark Stannard. Stanny helped us with a very lucrative sponsorship deal, which has facilitated us to splash the cash for this event, as well as get all of the gazebos. So for the four of you especially, thank you very much. Ash Banerjee helps us in the not-so-recent past with sponsorship and is also putting together a book. And, of course, lastly, my son Oscar, my daughters Larissa and Eva, and my beautiful wife.
We haven't got a trophy to give you, that's for sure. Looking forward to it. Are you all ready for the weekend ahead?
We're 95%.
Good. Well, 95% is good enough for me.
Still 2 days out.
Chris Domit, is it the right decision for you to be back here? Any regrets?
Well, not so far. I only got in yesterday morning, but it's good to be back in Dubai. And every time I come back, you see how much has changed. But it's going to be great to see the guys again. I'm still in touch with them on social media and tour with them to Chiang Mai. But no, it's great to be back. Really looking forward to the weekend. No, it's going to be good. Really,
as are we. Great to have our two guests in studio, Nick and Chris. Thank you very much indeed, fellas. And one final time, Mr. Harvey, if people want to get in touch with Darjeeling, the best way for them to do that is?
Website is darjeelingcricket.com. There's a Facebook page. and the nets at the ICC every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m.
Fellas, thank you. Enjoy the weekend. If you've got some, if you're out and about this weekend, do head on down to Dubai Sports City. Head for the ICC Cricket Academy to the ovals there. It's free entry. Come on down and see the Darjeeling Cricket Sixes in full flow.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.